once they finish with the big guys, they're going to start looking down the pipeline at SaaS companies like ours, which do not necessarily have legal advice and the legal knowledge to handle all these regulations. And now the third one, which is already out, which is the AI Act, they're just piling up. So now we have three. We have GDPR, right? We have the Data Act for business data, and we have the AI Act, which touches data as well, because it's a lot about the learning algorithms and the learning mechanisms that they need to be compliant with. And then there's an entire slew of things. And that one actually is set now to go live. They've been delaying it a little bit, but it's set to go live next year in 2026.
The bar for cyber resilience has been raised. Bouncing back isn't enough. Businesses must recover with certainty. Commvault Cloud Rewind finally gives IT and security leaders true peace of mind while freeing them to focus on AI's full potential. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am your host, Demetrius, and today we are going to dive in on preparing for some of the next waves of data privacy regulations. Those are only getting more and more stronger, right? So more and more regulations are being rolled out. And we have the privilege today to have a conversation with Telmo Silva, who is the CEO of Click Data. And Telmo, why don't you maybe give yourself a more proper introduction and also tell the audience what Click Data is and what you guys specialize in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me here, Demetrius. Yeah, so Click Data, we are a data management platform. Basically, if you can think of all the different data tools out there that exist in the market, and I think from a data warehouse, data lake, ETL, connectivity, dashboarding, analytics, insights, running Python on your data, that's what we offer. It's a full end-to-end data management platform. And we are based, the head office is in Europe. Most of our customers are across the world, mostly in the US, Canada, and Europe, of course. But yeah, so, you know, data protection, data privacy is top of mind for us because we handle a lot of our customers' data. And as such, it's a privilege to be here and talk a little bit about what's happening.
So I'm really curious to, I guess, start off with what are some of the most significant data protection or data privacy regulations that are expected to take effect, let's say, the next year, right? The next year or two, and also what that impact will be on some of the businesses, because I also know that one that just rolled out in January in Europe was DORA. Digital Operational Resilience Act, which specializes in financial institutions. And that was one that was on my radar quite large. Everyone was trying to figure out, is your solution able to help me comply with that regulation? And so that's a big question. So what are you seeing and what are you hearing on your side?
Yeah, interesting enough, DORA is actually not affecting us that much, at least for our business. It will affect a lot of the financial SaaS apps. And obviously financial suppliers and banks and financial institutions. Our platform, being a more generic one, does not have to deal with a lot of those items. But nonetheless, it's starting to prop up a little bit. I think there's an overarching regulation right now in the EU specifically, which is basically the EU Data Act. So if you think of GDPR as for your consumer protection, similar to the California Protection Act or Pipetting in Canada, etc. The GDPR protects those individuals. The EU Data Act is more around basically business data, right? And it's about regulating the access and usage of data across all economic sectors, not only financial. So that was actually adopted about 2-3 years ago, and it's now published and so forth, but it's not yet applicable. It's supposed to come in this year in September sometime. Most likely it'll come in a bit much later. This one is a little bit more, for us at least, it's a little bit more intensive for us to comply because we are mostly a B2B platform. We handle the businesses, all our customers' business data. So it becomes a little bit difficult for us to understand how to comply with this and how to even differentiate between other type of data. And that kind of raises one of the biggest issues that we've always had. We've had this issue of how do we handle the fact that we entrust our customers, or the customers entrust their trust into our platform, knowing that we, through processes, compliance, and technology, we basically do not have access to their data. But yet we are expected to, with data processing agreements, right, or business associate agreements for HIPAA, et cetera, we don't know what the customer is doing with our platform. We do not have access to their data. So unless they specifically request us to be a business partner or a business associate, or they want to contact our DPO, we will not know what their data is or where they got it from, whether they're legally allowed to use it, did they get permission to use it, et cetera, et cetera. So in our case, our platform and what we do is a little bit tougher, but all these regulations are just piling up and piling up. Now, at this point in time, we're small potatoes, right? But that's, the EU is already tackling a lot of big, the Googles, the Facebooks, they're just finding people left, right, and center. I think the US is as well, Canada as well. But this is just going to get, once they finish with the big guys, they're going to start looking down the pipeline at SaaS companies like ours, which do not necessarily have legal advice and the legal knowledge to handle all these regulations. And now the third one, which is already out, which is the AI Act.
Okay.
They're just piling up. So now we have three. We have GDPR, right? We have the Data Act for business data. And we have the AI Act, which touches data as well, because it's a lot about the learning algorithms and the learning mechanisms that they need to be compliant with. And then there's an entire slew of things. And that one actually is set now to go live. They've been delaying it a little bit, but it's set to go live next year in 2026.
What's so special? I haven't been following the AI Act a lot. So what is it all about, and what should the audience be concerned about with the AI Act?
Yeah, the AI Act is actually a combination. If you think of the GDPR for B2C or personal data, and then you have the Data Act, the AI Act sits somewhere in the middle where basically they're asking everybody to classify their use of AI, right? Whether it's low risk, unacceptable risk, limited or minimal risk, et cetera, right? So that's the first thing. There's a classification of all kinds of applications. So your application needs to be somehow classified in terms of where the AI engine is being executed, in essence. Is it using the data that you're providing it, and is it storing for learning purposes, or is it secluded? Are you sharing that data to improve your own services, which that's normal in most cases. Otherwise, there's very little point in doing it. Otherwise, it doesn't learn. So there's a lot of that in terms of classification. At this time, it seems to be a lot about governance and structure and classification, right? There's not really something that they can say it's this or that, right? GDPR, which is very detailed. We're still waiting to see, and this is potentially one of the reasons why it's been late, to see exactly how are they going to classify these models, how we need to comply with it, right? And then, of course, there's this entire other political aspect of that, right? Not only in terms of intellectual property, right? Where people can say, click data, you guys offer a data management platform. I see that when I drop my data, you automatically recognize it. Where were you able to learn that? Where did you learn to do that with my data? And where did it come from, et cetera? So there's this intellectual property concern. Where does this come from, right? Where does this knowledge come from? And then we have the international, obviously, issues, right? Where you have the US and other countries saying the EU is being very strict in all these regulations, specifically AI regulations, when all the IP knowledge of a lot of these GPT models, et cetera, comes actually from the US, et cetera. So this is going to be still, we're just at the beginning of this cliff here. But you know what? The way I see it is the EU always has this, they've always, at least in terms of GDPR, they were seen as the gold standard by many countries to say, okay, we're going to try to emulate that privacy for protection. I think everybody has that they want to do that. It's not a question of whether the EU's AI Act is very strict or whatever. I think it's just they're leading that, and they're obviously very protective of the consumer and the personal data. So I think a lot of countries will actually follow, but in different ways, right? Different ways. So we're all heading down the same path. It's just that all these regulations are going to take different shapes and forms.
Okay. Were there any changes, or did anything shift when DeepSeek came out with their model, their open source LLM? Did anything shift or change from...
Yeah.
What were the conversations like?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the European market and some countries specifically in Europe have a much more, whether it's naive or not, a much more open relationship to other tools, especially non-commercial tools, right? So they were quite quick to say, oh, okay, here's something that is cheaper and supposedly better than OpenAI, which we have to pay money. So they were very quickly jumping on that. But then the reality set in, which there's certain things that were happening with DeepSeek that kind of alerted some organizations to say, hold on, let's pull back a little bit before we go down that road. Because we don't know these people, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know who they are really. There's this definitely this Chinese wall of who is this company behind it, right? Whereas with OpenAI, which is now supported by Microsoft, and Microsoft has the face of it, or Gemini from Google, et cetera, all these are companies that have a global presence. They're comfortable with it. But yeah, so DeepSeek is definitely something that I think has affected a lot of companies, and they go, okay, maybe now we can start implementing this locally and taking this model. But there's a lot of technical knowledge in implementing those type of models internally. So I think it's going to take some time.
And so it's a lot of information. Things are moving fast, right? Especially over here in the U.S. And I'm not saying that it's not moving fast, as fast over there. I know there was an AI summit that happened in Paris a few weeks ago. A lot of heavy hitters were there. I saw Pharrell there. I'm like, wow, how is Pharrell in those circles? And Macron was there. And it was a really star-studded cast of individuals.
Yes, absolutely.
J.D. Vance. I was like, wow, okay, something's going on here. And that was really interesting. But I want to make a mention to, since everything is changing fast and things and news seem to be traveling very quickly, how do you stay educated, or how do you keep your employee base educated, and how can the audience also stay abreast of what's going on out there and get through, find the signal from the noise from a privacy and regulation perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting enough, we're a small company. We don't have an entire department of people on legal and data protection, data privacy, etc. We have two people. We have a data protection officer. We have a CISO. And that's exactly the type of conversations we have pretty much every month, is going, okay, what's going on out in the industry? What are the risks? What's coming up next, etc. And these conversations are mostly around, I actually typed into ChatGPT to tell me what's going on. Seriously, this is what they told me. And I said, okay, that's interesting. So you're actually using AI to keep yourself educated. And he was honest about it. He said, yeah, I don't have time to sift through. We operate in 40 countries. Some countries like the U.S., have different laws by state, right? So just keeping track of the US alone is a challenge for us. Keeping track of what's happening in Canada and UK, that they split up with Europe. So they have a GDPR, but slightly different. GDPR itself, the Brazilian GDPR, which is actually quite Australian as well, data privacy protection is actually quite advanced. So keeping all just on GDPR alone, that's huge work. Keeping track of now everything related to the Data Act and other business, there's a telecommunication regulatory thing now as well happening. It's called e-privacy, I believe, which is trying to maintain privacy in terms of communications like WhatsApp and Skype and things like that, but apply the same telecommunication rules, etc. All this stuff affects us as well, because we do use phones, we do use WhatsApp, etc. So it's a pile of work. It's absolutely a crazy amount of work. And not even to mention that every year we have to go through the auditing of ISO and SOC 2, Type 2, and HIPAA, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Imagine any type of company that wants to operate in an international market, or even in a national market. It's just crazy. They have to start off already with, if they're offering any type of service that stores any meaningful data or that handles consumers' data, they have to start off already with an overhead of basically bureaucracy in some sense, but obviously good bureaucracy, because if something comes out in terms of processes and security for the company and for the consumers and the customers, obviously that's a good thing, right? But it is really heavy. So I was actually quite pleased that they're saying we start setting up AI agents that give me a summary every morning as I come in. all the what's happening in certain topics that I've supplied to as a prompt. And every morning gives me a summary of what's happening in the last few days over that. And not only that, but other legislations and other security risks and privacy risks as well that's happening more recently, and another breaks, et cetera. So that's, we can see a lot of bad things about AI being used, but that in essence is actually a real huge time saver. So I would definitely recommend people to start looking at AI to help them streamline that amount of information and find the, as you said, the sweet stuff inside the noise, because you're not gonna be able to keep up. There's way too much stuff happening.
Yeah, and that brings me to hundreds and hundreds of data sources. You have all these different SaaS apps out there, and I know you guys have smart connectors, right? And then you talk about storing that in some type of intelligent data warehouse.
Right.
What do you recommend as far as, just from your perspective where you sit as the CEO, tell us more about ClickData and how your platform actually helps solve some of these complex data management problems.
Yeah, our vision initially was like, whereas everybody was going with, oh, let's put everything in a data lake and start thinking, and then we'll pull things out as we need them, et cetera. And they had these massive amounts of data that they have to sift through and find, as you said, the golden nuggets there. ClickData was never meant for that type of, we did not want to be Snowflake replacement or a large data lake replacement like Google BigQuery, things like that. We wanted to be a very optimized business tool. So we decided to build our connectors. So if you use our platform to connect to your social media accounts or to your ERP or to your financial system, CRM, we, in many of our connectors, at least those that connect to well-known applications like HubSpot and SAP and all that, we already built them in such a way that they filter the noise, right? They get the essence, what you need to run your business. I think in many cases, people start off to saying, what do we have in our CRM system? Let's do reports and a data warehouse of all this data. And then you handle all that, and the CEO, all he wants to see is, no, I just want to see this simple chart. So start with the metrics. So we always say, start with the KPIs. What is critical for you to measure? And then just go get what you need. Don't try to boil the ocean. Don't try to do a massive amount of data lakes. If that is part of your business that you need to do that, absolutely. We have a data lake that you can use for that. Focus on the KPIs. Start from the metrics down to the data, not the other way around. I think that's how we build ClickData, is around that, right? It's to provide immediate value as opposed to just providing yet another tool for them to build crazy amounts of indicators and things that are very flashy, but in the end, provide very little value to the management team or to the business team, the sales team, or whoever needs those metrics.
One final question for you. There's a lot of shifts happening overall with layoffs, right?
Yeah. So
either people are unhappy where they are and they're afraid to leave because the market has shifted, it's changed post-COVID. Also, you have lots of college age students getting ready to graduate and enter this market, which I'm glad that I'm not entering the market right now, because
I mean,
there is a lot that's happening and that's going on. I know there's a few industries that are still solid, right? Healthcare is still a good one. Maybe is manufacturing still, I guess it depends on which
industry. Yeah. Retail is taking a hit over in Europe.
And so what advice would you give to someone right now, maybe out of work or maybe looking to change, just from your perspective where you sit, on how to maneuver and maybe get ahead?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about that because one of my kids is starting to get at that age of what path in school do I need to go, et cetera. And one of them, and this is a path that I see in a lot of places because we get a lot of people applying for the job, they always come in, oh, I'm a data scientist. And the second one is, I want to do cybersecurity, right? My take on that is, I think the schools are a little bit at fault here because they're saying, come to our school, learn how to do data science. And they teach them a little bit about Python. And then they think that they're ready for the business data world and they're ready to make the big bucks. Cybersecurity is also the big one. Everybody's talking about cybersecurity. It's like, I always say everybody thinks they know what it is, but I don't think anybody's really doing it. It's I What I tell my kids and what I tell sometimes some of the interns that come in or on our team, either as data analysts, data engineers, data science, we don't differentiate. To us, it's basically data experts in the sense, because today you really need to be quite, you need to be, to have a very wide experience, right?
Yeah, whereas
before you could come in and say, I'm a math specialist. I can do statistics out of my easily. I'm a data science. I can do this, right? A data science that is good at math potentially is not a very good developer for using Python. And today you need Python skills. And a data scientist that even has those two skills may not have the skills, for example, to be able to use APIs and connect to data, right? The data engineering piece, or model data using SQL, which is in many cases an archaic language, but still the number one used language as an entry point to data processing. And these people may be way too geeky in a sense to even have the skills or the business qualities to understand business principles to be a data analyst.
Right? Soft skills, yeah.
And even understanding business to say, okay, if I was the CEO, I would probably want to look at these metrics because I understand the business, I understand the data, I understand what they sell, what they do, etc. This is really a multidiscipline experience that schools are not teaching. They're telling them, okay, you're going to be a data scientist, you're going to learn Python and that's it. Or you're going to be a cybersecurity, you're going to learn about this. That doesn't cut it anymore, right? GPT and AI can do those very specific jobs. Business does not need that. What they need is for people to have that breadth of experience. Now, how do you get that breadth of experience if you don't start your first job? That's always the chicken and the egg kind of thing, right? But what I asked them to think about is, well, instead of thinking about what is going to give you the best paycheck at the end of the month, etc., what is your passion and see if you can build it around something that has all these components into it. So I tell my kid, okay, he says, I want to boost cybersecurity. I go, okay, why do you want to be in cybersecurity? Oh, because of hacking and ethical hacking and all these. Okay, you know what you need to do for that? You need to know a little bit about programming and networking and IP and the internet, etc. So there's other skills that you need to learn to do that.
Right.
Even to IoT and all these things. So I asked them to push a little bit outside of being a specialist, but actually to be almost more a generalist, because being a specialist today, you're going to be easily replaced by OpenAI, any AI engine. Specialist doesn't cut it anymore, right?
Yep.
You know, but it is a tough market, Demetrius. I think you're absolutely
right. It is.
I don't know how, and these big organizations, they take advantage of that, right? They take advantage of hiring a bunch of specialists for a couple of years, and once they have something half built, they chuck them out. Now move on to the next thing.
Yeah,
and that is unfortunate that that's the way things work.
I appreciate the advice. Truly insightful conversation here. Hopefully the audience will walk away with some nuggets. And how can the Gumbo audience get access to Click Data? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just head out to our website, www.clickdata.com. Do you still need to use www these days? I don't know. But anyway, clickdata.com. And there's a free trial for 15 days. And there's in-app chats. So if you have questions about how to get your data going, we're one of the very few that actually provide a non-bot person behind. We have data analysts in the US and Canada and in France and UK ready to help out anybody that has questions. Yeah, thanks for inviting me here once again and for the talk.
All right. I appreciate the information and also taking time out of your day to sit with us here on Data Protection Gumbo. So thank you again. Wishing you much success on your end as well. Audience out there, stay secure and make sure that you back up your data often. All right. Thanks, Telmo.
Thank you, Demetrius.